In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, for the past several weeks, we have been walking through in our lectionary cycle, which is the readings prescribed for this time of year, through what's known as the travel narrative in Luke. Jesus has been walking with this band of disciples to Jerusalem, and his teachings have been challenging. I want to thank my colleagues, Olivia and Nathan, for taking the last 2 weeks, some of the hardest lessons in the travel narrative. These past weeks have definitely had some of the most confusing sections of the gospel to offer that exists. And for the next 3 weeks, you're going to be hearing the last three lessons that conclude the narrative. This is the last leg of the journey that Jesus takes before he arrives at his final destination. So, what are the critical lessons that Jesus wants his disciples to understand before they all arrive to Jerusalem? Over the next 3 weeks, we'll hear in the scriptures what I hear as three marks of discipleship, what it means to follow Jesus at its core: gratitude, persistence, and humility. Now, Jesus is aware that he's traveling to proclaim a kingdom that looks nothing like what anyone is expecting. And so he's trying to teach his disciples along the way to have a different perspective on their reality. The ultimate example of this will come later at the end of our church year on what is known as Christ the King Sunday. Jesus is taking a path to true glory, and he signifies it by his reign as king hanging upon the hard wood of a cross. The people following Jesus are longing for a kingdom, but it's probably not going to look like Jesus hanging on a cross. It's more one of their own imagining, one of grandeur, one really of a different kind of hope. And instead, Jesus turns everything upside down in favor of the poor, the mourning, the hungry, and the hated. Jesus says from the cross, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they are doing," when they still don't understand. Well, in today's gospel, we encounter a God who extends mercy and grace to the one who seemingly least deserves it in our eyes. Imagine a person who denies love and grace and hospitality to someone in your day today. This is the person Jesus heals, the group of people that Jesus heals, and the one who is most disdained and really deserving of most disdain is the person who winds up showing us how to embody faith. So in today's lessons, both of them, we encounter lepers. And in the gospel lesson, there are 10 men who are confined to this leper colony. Lepers, by virtue of their skin disease, were discarded and discounted and on the outskirts of society. And all of them, by virtue of their condition, were rendered unclean, untouchable. And of these 10 men this morning, who Jesus just has to see to heal, only one of them turns back to Jesus to thank him. And Jesus points out that this is the man who has the greatest faith, the one who says thank you, the one who embodies what it means to see himself as Jesus sees him. Luther Seminary's Caroline Lewis outlines the fullness of this response of this leper to God's mercy and grace in this way. He doesn't just look back and say thank you, but he displays to us a faithful pattern. The 10th leper sees that he's healed, and then returns to Jesus, the source of his healing, and he praises Jesus, praising God, worshiping God, and giving thanks. And then this 10th leper doesn't just stay there. He gets up and goes into the world made new. See, return, praise, worship, give thanks, get up, and go. Now, the point in the gospel this morning is not just gratitude. That would discount the profundity of what you've just heard and what the 10th leper actually did and who he was. So this 10th leper, the one who Jesus deems the most faithful, the one who understood the best, was the one in the group who was certainly the most disdained, the most unlikely in all of their eyes to turn back, because that person was a Samaritan. If you look back to the beginning of the travel narrative I mentioned in Luke, in the 9th chapter of the book of Luke, you find the Samaritans are the ones denying hospitality to Jesus and his disciples. So this one, near the end of the journey that Jesus praises, who had also been an enemy of the community. And it's this ostracized enemy who winds up acting in faith. A Samaritan, an undeserving outsider, who Jesus proclaims as the one who knows salvation. It's funny, I was reading a meme on Facebook this week by N.T. Wright, and he said, people love to the Bible so long as they don't actually know what's in it. Imagine the one in your life, there are a lot of people we deem as outsiders no matter what our position, and the one who we hate the most, who's least deserving, is the one who got it. Oh, they're not supposed to understand it. That's the one. Here's the thing about the journey we've been on in the Gospel of Luke in this travel narrative. Jesus is leading us to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem's where you'd imagine the cream of the crop are. The best disciples, that's where they go. The seemingly most faithful. And those are the ones who wind up joining and denying and betraying Jesus. Ultimately, it's everyone. Everyone but the small band of women in the end who deserts Jesus when he dies. So Jesus is showing us that the brightest and the best can sometimes be the most clueless. And it's the most despicable and unlikely of people who are often the ones who in the end wind up getting it. This mission that Jesus is on is meant to reveal that all of us, every single person, we are all in the same boat. We are all messy combinations of sinner and saint. None of us have earned it or deserved it, but God's grace and love is available to each of us. No matter what we've done, no matter where we've come from. And it's an outcast and an enemy, the leprous Samaritan, that shows us that salvation is not about doing things the right way, in line with anyone's expectations or religious principles, but it's the one who recognizes the gift and returns to say thank you. Because what did Jesus tell those lepers? If you look in the gospel, it says, Jesus says, go, leave lepers, go, show yourselves to the priests. Go to the place where all the good, clean people are, you that are made clean, and show yourselves. Well, this Samaritan is blatantly disobeying Jesus' command and sees the blessing that is his healing, and boldly and with integrity disobeys Jesus and goes back to Jesus to praise him. The leper teaches us that it's not about following the rules. It's about how we respond in gratitude to the gift. So the fellow lepers are clean and they're dancing, it says. They're dancing aimlessly, following the rules toward the priests. And that 10th leper stops and says, "Oh, no, no, not yet. I need to go to the one who did this for me and bow before him." German mystic Dorothy Soule tells a story that illuminates the heart of gratitude and grace. There's a French Marian legend about a storyteller who gives up his fickle life and enters a monastery. But the life of the monks remains strange to him. He knows neither how to recite nor chant a prayer. So he pours out his lament to the Virgin Mary. And she tells him to serve God with what he can do, namely, dance and leap. And from that moment on, he skips the divine offices, those daily prayers, and dances during those times. He's called to the abbot and believes he's about to be expelled. But the abbot only says, "With your dancing, you have glorified God with body and soul. But may God forgive us all those lofty words that pass our lips without coming from our heart." What does Jesus see when he sees you and all the people of this world? I believe that Jesus sees what is possible, what we can do. And I think we tend to see a whole lot of other things. Ways we failed, ways we don't measure up. But what does Jesus see when he sees you and the people of this world? Opening our eyes to see God at work in the world and at work in us is how we practice gratitude as disciples of Christ. Opening our eyes to see God at work in the world around us and at work in us is how we practice gratitude as disciples. So there are so many of you here today, I think not everybody got an announcement bulletin, but if you got one, can you hold it up? So if you find them laying around, you just grab them, because in the middle, in the center section, there's a practice. And if you didn't get one, I apologize. You could write it down somewhere on a card if you didn't get a bulletin or in your bulletin. But I wanted to give you a prayer practice to try on this week to strengthen your gratitude quotient. So on one day this week, take an opportunity to walk or drive, depending on what you're able to do, around in your community. And as you move through your community, use this prayer as you breathe in and out and look around. Come and see what God has done. And just sit with that. Seeing the world around you through the eyes of what God has done. And then do it again, another day. Wait a whole day. And on the second day, or wait a couple days if you don't have time, walk or ride around your community again. And as you move, notice the places where God's action is needed. And use this prayer as you breathe in and out. Look around and breathe in and out and pray, God, you will not let our feet slip. And here's a prayer for our week. I had the kids and the adults in the 9:30 congregation do a repeat after me prayer. Let's do the same here. Repeat after me. God, open my eyes to the places where you are at work in the world. Amen. May we see, return to Jesus, praise him, worship him, and then give thanks. Get up and go. Amen.